I discovered your music through a comic book.
Oh, was it, I mean, there can really only be one, Witchblood?
Yes.
Ah, cool.
Okay, because I wrote that down and then I was like, wait, if I tell you this, is the maker going to get in trouble? And then I was like, no, surely it's all above board.
No, They reached out to me, Matthew Ehrman, who wrote that. They reached out to me and asked if it was okay if, you know, if they created comic book characters of us. And that's like almost a ridiculous question. Like, yeah, of course that's okay. Yeah. Of course that's, please make comic book characters of us. It was such an honor.
Because the first page is her like riding her motorbike, listening to patients. And then It just says Mannequin Pussy at the bottom. And I was like, fuck, that's a good band name. And then that's how I started listening to you guys. So it's been really awesome watching how much you've blown up like since this most recent album.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that's the comic book band.
Yeah, seriously. It feels like a different lifetime almost when that comic book came out. It was still kind of like pandemic-ish times.
I think it might have been right at the beginning almost.
Yeah, it was like strange. Yeah, a few people found us through that, and yeah, a lot has changed since then.
Do you have other stories of random ways people have discovered your music?
Yeah, I mean, actually, that was a really interesting time for us because it felt like for the first time people weren't finding out about us via the normal channels of like through a friend or a Spotify playlist or algorithm, whatever. It was like through other cultural markers. So people found us through that comic book at Witchblood. And around that same time, we were in an HBO series called Mayor of Easttown.
Oh, yeah.
That starred Kate Winslet, and her daughter in the show is in a band, and they used our music as the daughter's band's music.
Oh, cool.
Like, they re-recorded our songs and had the actress sing my part, so it was, like, actually her voice, and then a lot of people found us through that HBO show. I mean, those were kind of, like, the two stranger but more kind of magical ways where we've been invited into another creative universe. It was like, oh, we exist in the Witchblood universe. We exist in the Mayor of Easttown universe. And like, there's a kind of that artist being inspired by other artists. And I think that's kind of the best way that someone could possibly find out about your music.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I found the comic through the illustrator made a tarot deck. So really, I like found a tarot deck and then found a comic and now found like a new favorite band. It's been such a crazy journey.
Lisa Still, right?
Yeah, Lisa Still.
Yeah, she's great. I commissioned her to make a portrait of us after
sick.
We got all of our stuff stolen on a tour like years ago to be like showing us strong and like with weapons in our hand, like we'll find the motherfucker who stole all of our stuff. Yeah, but Lisa's so talented as well.
Oh, I never saw that. It's awesome. Mannequin Pussy started in 2010. And it's been through lots of changes since then. Do you want to talk through a bit of the different versions of the band that you've had?
Yeah, it's been such an evolution throughout those years because like, I feel like the first 4 years of the band were really just felt like kind of like the early, very gritty, almost like performance art days where it was just like me and a drummer playing very casually and just like me screaming on stage as like loud as possible as it's kind of like cathartic performance art. And then slowly it was like, well, these are like real songs. We could record them. And then the first record came out 10 years ago now. And by that time the record came out, we had expanded to be a three-piece. We went on our first ever tour. We met Kayleen, who became our drummer. So we went from two to three. And then another year passed and we met Bear, who became our bass player because he booked a show for us to play because he was a fan of the band first. And I mean, it was like absolutely ridiculous that we didn't have a bass player, but it was just everything about this band has been under the order of its own natural evolution, like not trying to rush getting to a certain place and just kind of allowing the pieces of it all to fall into its own place. So then like once we met Bear, we were a four piece and we made two records together as that contingency. And then in 2020, the original guitar player, Thanasi, decided he just didn't want to be in a band anymore. And that was, you know, I think honestly just like such a blessing because it allowed us to just like reimagine what kind of music we wanted to make and who we wanted our collaborators to be and really open the door possibility for us. And Maxine has been one of my closest friends for years and years now. And she and I have been making music apart from Mannequin Pussy for many years. And so it was just like such a perfect opportunity to bring one of my closest friends and closest creative collaborators into our project. And so I think it's, to me, it's like really no surprise that I think we're making the best work we've made, because Maxine just like really, she just like, she understands us and she understands music, and she and I just like really, we have this like very cosmic connection to each other and really are great at like pushing each other to just, I don't know. It's just, it's very fun. You know, you get to, it's called playing music, and sometimes you forget that it's play. It feels very much like work, and it can be very arduous at times, but at the end of the day, you are playing with the act of creation. And so, yeah, now we're here. I mean, the pandemic definitely was like a strange ellipses, a bit like a pause for us to reconfigure as a group, and then somehow we became so much more popular during that time, and a lot more people discovered us. And then when I Got Heaven got made, it just like, yeah, I don't know, this year's been insane.
You release under Romance Records, which is your own label.
Romantic Records, sorry. That was after we bought back our masters in 2020. We bought back our masters for the first two records from our old label, and we're like, okay, we own our music now, which is what many artists dream of doing, especially with like an early catalog. And yeah, we decided we were going to make our own label imprint and just be in full control of those earlier records.
Yeah, how is it having such autonomy, especially because your music, it does deal with those themes of being autonomous over yourself?
Yeah.
How special is that to be able to have your own label for it?
I don't know many other people who get to do that. I mean, it's like really, I like really have to hand it to Tiny Engines for wanting to like play ball with us and seeing how important it was to us and what an opportunity it was for both of us to kind of mark a new era as a band and with these earlier works. You know, I can't say that I know very much what it's like about like running a label, because we've only put out our own records. Maybe down the line in the future, if we ever have a little bit more time and we discover an artist that we really love, we will dip our toe into the like A&R and making albums for other people. But it's not a job I envy or one I want.
With the release of I Got Heaven, have had such a crazy explosion. And I was going to ask you a bit about that. Like, you've just done Outbreak Fest and Meredith Festival, and you, I think, are possibly the only video from KEXP to be flagged for R18.
For what?
Being flagged for being R18. You have to log in to watch it.
I know. I'm really upset about that, actually. Well, I mean, KEXP was the only time ever where I asked them to censor us for the video, because YouTube is the most unforgiving of all algorithms. If you have any sort of word that's deemed obscene or profane, they will never recommend your video to anyone. It will never show up in searches without you having to fully type it in. You'll have to sign in to watch it. And I really wanted the most amount of people to see that KEXP, because I was really proud of the way it came out. And I was like, KEXP, will you just like star out our name or something? And they're like, no, it's against our ethos to do that. And I was like, okay, well, that's fine. And so I thought it was strange that it went like a clip of it went really, it was our first time like having something go really viral with like, I think there's like 2 million views of it on Instagram, but not exactly 2 million views of it on the YouTube. And, you know, I think it's, you know, we're always going to be underground, like this underground subcultural movement, because that's what, I mean, that's like what punk and rock and roll are, is they're not quite part of the mainstream. The artists of our world are always kind of doing our thing that's poking at the mainstream and trying to make people uncomfortable. But I do wish that wasn't behind it. You have to sign in to watch it. I wish you could just like, well,
you want like some 16-year-old girl to stumble across it and be like, wow, I can rock as well. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's been so amazing. This is like the year that, I mean, I started noticing it post-pandemic when we started touring again, where I'm like, but the entire front row is like young women and femmes.
Fuck yeah.
The entire front row. And then behind them and behind them, who are just like screaming their hearts out, really connecting to it. And it's just like, I never had that experience going to shows when I was younger, that it would be like me and hundreds of other young girls like myself who were like really into aggressive rock music. Like, I think growing up, I was always like one of a handful of women at shows. And so seeing the culture change and being part of that cultural change is like not something I take for granted.
Yeah, going to punk shows as a young girl, it's a fucking scary thing to do, you know? So it's I've noticed the same thing here in New Zealand, being at the front of a show and I'm like, look around and I can't see any men. And I'm like, fuck yeah, this is awesome. We're the ones that should be the most angry. We're the ones that should be at the front absolutely enjoying this. It's been so awesome to see.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just like you said, there's such a reason for us to have such anger, and yet we're treated as though, and you know, something after that KXP dropped and that clip of us on Instagram went viral, there were a lot of comments from men who were disgusted by it and just like absolutely hate it. And there were a lot of comments about like, oh, she must be on her period, or like, this is like period hormone rage or whatever. And like, usually I'm pretty good at like X-ing out the noise of certain things, but I thought it was really interesting at this point that was like, the idea that a woman would only be angry because she's on her period is the most archaic sexist bullshit that I can't believe I'm still hearing echoed in this year.
No, that's fucked up.
The only reason that we would have to be angry is because it's that time of the month is so insulting, and it's so infantilizing of our own ability to deeply feel things and to have, you know, the respect that we're able to like look around us and see a world that is not of our making, but that we're forced to be part of, and fills us with rage because we see the way that women and people of color are treated in this world, and people who are working class are treated. And like, all you have to do is just pay attention for a few minutes and realize that like, there's so many reasons to feel rage inside of you. And then the question is, well, what do you do with that rage? And so for artists, it's like, luckily, you know, we have a place to explore that. But yeah, I was really insulted by that notion that there's still this idea that a woman's rage is just this chemical thing and not a reflection of the society in which we're living.
I was told something that really stuck with me, and it was that anger is a beautiful emotion because it's the part of yourself that knows you deserve better. Mm-hmm. And it's the part of yourself that's going, hey, this isn't right, I'm going to stick up for it. And for someone to be like, oh, she must be on her period, is fucking disgusting. I'm sorry that happened.
I mean, it's gross, but again, it's like, it's sometimes good to know what you're up against. That's the perception of women with rage. I'm like, okay, got it. Good to know that's still going on.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about, because a big part of what has made me so in love with Mannequin Pussy is the emotion of it. It's fucking so cathartic. Something that I really love about the band is the way that you effortlessly have that contrast between softness and anger and rage. Where that's the strongest to me is in the transition from Pigs is Pigs into Darling on the Perfect EP. And when I first heard that, I was like, it doesn't sound weird to me going from anger to sadness that quickly. That resonates with me so much. And there's moments like that in I Got Heaven as well, and within songs themselves too, just this constant movement between recognizing the beauty in things and then also grief and sadness and then also just pure rage. And it's so beautiful. And I was wondering if that's an intentional balance that you're trying to cultivate, or if that's truly just a reflection of feeling as a woman.
I think it's both. It's both very intentional to just be able to represent a wider fabric of, I think, what's a truer reflection of a person's emotional state, where I think it's strange sometimes to, like, you know, if we were to compare like life to like tempos, basically like the tempo of a song, I don't wake up in the same tempo every day. Like, I'm getting better through certain practices to kind of like have a base state, but there was a long period in my life where like I wouldn't really know what tempo I would wake up in.
Yeah.
I might feel like really, I might like wake up and just be so fucking angry about something, and it just carried with me in the day, and then slowly your brain starts to talk you out of it. You know, you're like, you're thinking about it the wrong way, or like, you shouldn't let it affect you so much. And then you're like, okay, like, now I feel softer about this. Now I feel like maybe less offended by whatever it may be. And just that, you know, I think a lot about how music is sort of its own reflection of the stages of grief, where those five stages of grief that they talk about, I sometimes was trying to like represent all the stages of grief into one song. So you'd go from anger to depression to bargaining to acceptance, like kind of all in one, or at least throughout the course of a record. I've said this before, but I would be very bored to just feel the same emotion all the time. I think it's like an incredible aspect of like what makes life really exciting is kind of not knowing sometimes how you're going to feel about something, whether it's like joy and love and being enamored with something or being absolutely enraged and disgusted by something. Over the course of a day, you can just feel so many emotions at once. So I just could never imagine our music only existing in one emotion, because that's not a reflection of the four of us by any means.
And how much that can change and be about the same subject, but the emotion may change. I mean, heartbreak is a big one where everyone feels all of those. You get so angry, but then next thing you know, you're just sad and you're sitting with it, and then you're happy about the memories. And I feel like that's something that's reflected so beautifully in a lot of your work.
Isn't it so wild just how, like, you could wake up every day and it's like the first thought in your mind, and then all of a sudden there's that day and you don't even think about it anymore?
That's the best day.
That is the first day of the rest of your life.
Thank you.
let you go, but I did just want to say this is your first time playing in New Zealand, which is super exciting. Is there any specific things you're looking forward to in New Zealand? Also, what should we be looking forward to for our first time seeing you?
I'm so excited to go to New Zealand. I mean, all my friends who have gotten to go there before, everyone is in agreement that New Zealand is just one of the most beautiful countries on the planet. And I'm so obsessed with natural beauty and just, I think it's one of the reasons why I'm so angry is just the way that we like treat the planet and the world. I'm like, how could you not protect this like sphere of beauty that we live in? And so I'm just excited to see a corner of the world I've never seen before. And, you know, I hope that the New Zealand fans just like really enjoy the experience of being at a Mannequin Pussy show and allow themselves to scream and just kind of feel alive with us for one day. I mean, all we're really trying to do as artists is to facilitate a cathartic experience for the people who are at our shows, and that's very important to us.
Thank you so much for chatting.
Yes, it was so nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you as well. I'll see you on Friday the 13th.
We'll see you there.